to be praised. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, amen? And I know that it's the spirit of the Lord. Giving all honor and glory to God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life. I'm thankful for all that he is doing and has done. I'm thankful this morning for my dear friend, Pastor George Parks. I'm thankful for the help that he's given me over the years in ministry, the direction that he's provided, and the opportunities that he has provided for me to minister the word of God. I call him my little big brother because I'm older than him, but he has always been like a big brother to me. I'm thankful this morning for his lovely wife, First Lady Joy Parks. I'm thankful for her sweet spirit and her excitement about the women of God and the people of God and what the Lord is doing in the life of the church. I want to thank all of the women of New Hope Baptist Church that welcomed me yesterday and shared with me and blessed me. Thank all of you for an awesome conference yesterday. I am truly grateful, and thank you to all of you who have welcomed me this weekend. Your hospitality has been second to none. Well, it's preaching time. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, click with me to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. That's Habakkuk chapter 2, verses, actually we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. When you have it, say amen. Amen. I'll be reading from the New International Version. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me, and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Yeah. Our focal verse this morning is going to be verse 1. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. This morning, I just want to speak with you for a little while from the topic of not on my watch. Not on my watch. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to say thank you. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done in our lives. We thank you for all that you've done over the course of this women's weekend. We thank you for what you're doing in the life of New Hope Baptist Church. God, we pray right now that your Holy Spirit would continue to rule in this place. Touch each and every person under the sound of my voice. You know their needs this morning. We pray right now that you might go from heart to heart and breast to breast and do that which you will do best, God. Lord, I pray right now that you might bring me low so that you might stand high in me. Lord, use this here, your servant. Speak, Lord, for we are listening, God. Give us a word from on high, so that someone might be set free, so that the chains might be broken, so that someone might be healed this morning, Lord, so that someone might be encouraged to see what the end will be. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And the people of God said amen. Amen. Not on my watch. In June of this year, the newspaper reported that a Colorado mother found herself in a situation that no parent wants to find themselves. The life of her son was in danger. Earlier that afternoon, she had told her two sons that they could play in the family's backyard, And all of a sudden, she heard the gut-wrenching screams of her five-year-old son. A mountain lion had jumped onto the boy and had his head in the grips of its jaw. Like many other mothers who find themselves in this kind of situation, her child's life in danger, this mother, driven by a rush of adrenaline and supernatural strength, charged at the lion, yanked one of its paws off her son, stuck her hand in the lion's mouth, and pried her son's head from the grip of its jaw. She did all of this using only her bare hands. Now, the boy had injuries to his face, head, and neck, and the mother had minor injuries to her hands, but they both escaped with their lives. This mother, when she saw that her son's life was in danger, jumped into action, and despite the mountain lion being bigger than her and more of a threat to her than she was to it, she said, "Not on my watch," and rescued her boy from danger.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I would like to suggest to each and every one of you this morning that like this five-year-old boy who was attacked in his own backyard by a mountain lion, that we as the people of God are in imminent danger.
Yeah.
We're in imminent danger today because our children are growing up with no knowledge of self. They don't know who they are in Christ. We're losing them to drugs, sex, and senseless acts of violence. I say we're in danger this morning because every day in the newspaper, we hear of another story of an unarmed person gunned down by the police, and we see another video of excessive force used and other instances of police brutality.
Yeah.
Acts of terrorism are becoming even more prevalent in this country. Just last week, bombs were ignited in New Jersey and New York. Mental illness is on the rise in our community and continues to rob people of their lives. Domestic violence is out of control. Children are rising up against their parents, and parents are rising up against their children. The prison population in this country is out of control. There are wars and rumors of wars. I'm telling you this morning that the people of God are in imminent danger. Now, your head may not literally be in the jaw of a mountain lion, but there's another lion this morning that has his eye on you, and he's the enemy of us all, because the Bible says that the devil is roaming to and fro like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you, your children, your family, your friends, your neighbors are his prey. And however, no matter the dire present situation that it may seem right now, God wants some bold and courageous people this morning who have the Holy Ghost boldness, who are going to stand up against all unrighteousness and injustice and shout, "Not on my watch." I wish I had a witness this morning. Not on my watch will my children fall away and become victims of street life. Not on my watch will my neighborhood be taken over by gun violence and drug activity. Not on my watch will I see people living in the streets and going hungry. Not on my watch will I continue to see injustice after injustice and say and do nothing. Not on my watch. Not on my watch will I continue to ignore the statutes of God and live with unforgiveness, bitterness, hate, and anger and apathy. Not on my watch will I continue to put the things of God on the back burner of my life. And in our text for this morning, Habakkuk the prophet comes to a place where he can't ignore anymore the injustice and sin that's going on in Judah. In the first chapter, he complains to God about the lawlessness and the wickedness that's going on in the city. He doesn't understand why God is allowing such evil and sin to prevail in the land.
Habakkuk doesn't understand why God is allowing the Chaldeans and ungodly people to wreak havoc on the children of Israel. He doesn't understand why God is allowing such violence to take place in the lives of his people, and why God is continuing to allow the wicked to prosper. And when we get to chapter 2, Habakkuk has finished making his complaint to God and says that he's going to stand his watch and set himself atop the ramparts and watch what God is going to say to him concerning these things. Now, why is it significant that Habakkuk is positioning himself atop of the ramparts and standing his watch? Well, it's significant because the prophets in the Bible were deemed as watchmen and watchwomen. It was their job to man their posts, to receive the word of God or the revelation of God for the people. When the prophet takes his or her position on the watchtower, it's like they're separating themselves from the world. They're putting on blinders so that they're not distracted from any earthly concern or affair. They're intentionally fixing their eyes on Jesus so they might see what word there is from the Lord. And this morning, if we're going to be empowered and encouraged women of God, then it's time for us to man our post. It's time for us to set ourselves apart from the things of this world and the cares and concerns of this world and watch to see what the Lord is saying concerning us and our life. Watch to see what God is saying about your purpose. Watch to see what God is saying about your marriage. Watch to see what God is saying about our children. Watch to see what God is telling you about your health. Watch to see what insight God is giving to you about your finances. Watch to see what God is saying about the current state of affairs. It's time for us to take our rightful place as the sons and daughters of the Most High God and mend our post to see what the Lord is speaking to us in this hour. And it's imperative. Jesus says in John 10:27 that my sheep know my voice. I know them and they follow me. If you want direction this morning, if you want encouragement, if you want supernatural power to speak to the things in your life that are out of order, that are out of control, and have the Holy Ghost boldness to say, not on my watch, set yourself on the ramparts and watch to see what God is saying to you. And watch God change things. Watch God start to rearrange things in your life. Watch God bring order into your life from chaos. We just recognized the 15th anniversary of September the 11th this month. And one of the survivors, William Sinclair, said that the reason why he survived the attack on the Pentagon is because after the office was destroyed, his part of the office in the building, he heard a voice. He didn't know where it was coming from, but he heard a voice telling him to follow me to safety. And he continued to follow that voice through the darkness and all of the destruction, and he made his way out of the Pentagon. And in the same way, if we're going to survive the spiritual attacks of the enemy and the craziness that's going on in the world today, we have to follow our Heavenly Father's voice. If we're going to fulfill our God-given purpose in him, then we're going to have to stand and listen for his voice. God wants some prophetic men and women, those who know the word of God and can speak a fit word in the right season and transform the negative situations in their life and in the lives of others. And if you didn't know, there's power. There's wonder-working power in the word of God. Hallelujah. It has the power to heal and transform. My God, it has the power to speak those things that are not as though they were. Hallelujah. You can speak life into your marriage this morning. You can speak to those wayward children. You can speak peace to your anxious mind. Hallelujah. There is power in the word of God. Has anybody ever been in a position where you were afraid and you started to quote the scripture and speak the word over your situation, and God has given you that peace that surpasses all understanding? My God, that's because there's power, wonder-working power in the word of God. But in order for us to receive that rhema word, we have to stand our watch. And next, the scripture is significant for us today because Habakkuk shows us that what we should do if we're going to be a people who can say, not on our watch. And what Habakkuk does is he sets himself on the watchtower so he can intercede on the behalf of the people. Somebody say, intercede. He seeks the face of God so that God will act on the behalf of the people. He asks God, how long will your people continue to suffer violence at the hands of the Chaldeans? And this is important because God wants people like you and me who set ourselves apart, who become watchmen and watchwomen so that we can intercede on the behalf of our land and those who don't know God, can't feel God, can't hear God, and don't know He exists. He wants us to be intercessors this morning. And if ever there was a time when God needed a people to intercede on the behalf of the world today, it's now. In Genesis chapter 18, God had came to Abraham and told him that he was going to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. But Abraham started to intercede on the behalf of the people, my God. He said, God, if you find 50 righteous people, will you spare the city? Then he got it down to 45 righteous people. Then he got all the way down to 10 righteous people. That's because Abraham said, not on my watch will I see the people of God destroyed. And how many of you know that your neighborhood, that your child's school, that your job, your state was spared destruction and violence because somebody said, not on my watch? My God, somebody prayed for you. Someone prayed for me. They had me on their mind, took the time to pray for me. And some of us are only still living today because of the prayers that of the people that have gone before us, my God. Because the Bible says that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And some of us are still alive because of our grandmother's prayers, my God. Some of us are breathing today because of the prayers of our grandfathers. Hallelujah. Because of the prayers of the people, that some of the prayers came from people that we don't even know. Somebody saw us going down the path of destruction, and they said, not on my watch, and interceded for us. When I was a young lady, I got my first apartment in a seedy neighborhood behind PG Plaza, Pastor Park. That's a questionable neighborhood. And after all of the drama had went on in the neighborhood, I finally decided to move out. Well, on the day that I was moving out of the apartment complex, a group of people came together in a circle while we were loading up my moving truck, and they started to call on the name of God. And because I was still an ignorant young woman, still in the world, my God, I chuckled to myself, and I heard the woman called on the name of Jesus, and she prayed that God would bring down a prideful and haughty spirit. My God, I had never seen this woman a day in my life, but she took the time to intercede on my behalf. The people of God gathered together in that neighborhood, and they said, not on my watch. And I don't even know to this day the eternal consequences that her prayers have had in my life, but I am thankful that the people of God came together to intercede on the behalf of the neighborhood. And God wants us to be like the prophet Habakkuk and those praying people who stood in the gap on the behalf of somebody else, that can say when they saw that young girl going down the wrong path, when they saw that young boy hanging out on the street corner, they interceded, they stood in the gap. And that's what God wants us to do today. God wants us to seek His face for that person in the penitentiary who seemingly has no hope of restoration. He wants us to stand in the gap of that person who's in the hospitals and the doctor has given up hope. He wants us to intercede on the behalf of that young person who doesn't know God and they're giving up on life. He wants us to have the courage and the conviction to say, not on my watch. And you don't have to have a badge and be the leader of the intercessory prayer ministry to intercede on the behalf of someone else. All you have to do is stand your watch and let your petitions be made known to God. Because he is also faithful. And there is no other prayer that God delights in more than a prayer that's lifted up on the behalf of someone else. Pray for that elderly person in the nursing home. Pray for those women in prison. Pray for that single mother or single father. Pray for that unemployed person. Pray for those grieving people. God wants us to be intercessors. And finally, when we make up in our mind that we're not going to let some things happen on our watch and we stand in the gap on the behalf of someone else, we can wait with great expectation, knowing that God is going to respond. I don't think some of y'all caught that. I said we can wait with great expectation, knowing that God is going to respond. In verse 2, the Lord responds to Habakkuk's complaint and tells him to write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation is for an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove off. Though it lingers, my God, though you're waiting on it, it will come. It will certainly not delay. And some of us have lost the joy of our salvation this morning because we lost that spirit of expectation. We let the devil and the evil in this world convince us that God is not concerned about the problems of his people, but all to the contrary. Habakkuk reminds us that we can not only stand our watch, intercede, but we can also expect God to move. We can expect God to speak. We can expect God to give us that revelatory knowledge, my God, and understanding. We can expect him to move on our behalf. So many people, my God, are throwing in the towel and they're giving up hope because they lost their spirit of expectation. They don't expect God to do anything on the behalf of his people. They don't expect him to get involved in the affairs of this world. So how can they receive the blessings of God unless they believe? Because the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 6 that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Anyone who comes to God must first believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God is very involved in the affairs of your life and in this world. Even if they seem minute to you, he's involved. God has his eyes and his ears attuned to what's going on in the world today. The violence and the destruction that we continue to see on a daily basis did not take God by surprise. The diagnosis that you may have received did not shock God. When you got laid off from your job, God was not surprised. God has allowed these things to happen to accomplish his divine purposes in your life and in the world. It may seem like your world and the world in general is out of control, but God has his all-powerful finger on the pulse of everything that's going on in the world today. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that all things work together for the good, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Though the vision may tarry, we can wait for it with great expectation because it will come to pass. My God, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. What he said he would do, he will do. Don't let the devil steal your spirit of expectation. My God, don't let the devil make you lower your expectations of God. Because God is working in the background. And he's orchestrating people, places, and things so that he can bring you into the fullness of Jesus Christ and to the place that he has destined. destined you to be from the very foundations of the world. He doesn't want you and me to be an innocent bystander on the things that's going on into the world. He wants us to move us into our purpose in Him. He wants us to be those bold Christians that can say, not on my watch, when we see justices occur in our society. He doesn't want people giving up and falling away from their faith in Jesus Christ. God wants to bring us to a place where we will say, not on my watch. In April of this year, and I'm through, in Weatherford, Texas, they experienced some damaging flooding. There was over 17 inches of rain that fell in southeast Texas in that month, and all the people needed to be evacuated. Where there was one man in that neighborhood, and he had one of those 8-foot monster trucks. When he saw that his neighbors were in danger, my God, when he saw the flooded waters rising, he got into his monster truck and he drove through those flood waters, hallelujah, and he rescued the people in his neighborhood. He had the attitude and he said, not on my watch will I watch the people die. I'm going to do that which God has called me to do. And I don't know about you, but I am so glad that when the flood water started rising in my life, that Jesus looked down on from high and he said, not on my watch. Hallelujah. He said, not on my watch will I let my daughter sink, my God, into sin. Hallelujah. He said, not on my watch will I let her fall into despair. Hallelujah. And because this morning, the same thing that he's done for me, he will do for you. Hallelujah. Is there anybody in the house this morning that can testify, that can be honest, that when you look back over your life and you think it over, you think about all the places that you shouldn't have been, you think about all the people you shouldn't have been with, that Jesus said, not on my watch. Hallelujah. He said, life. And because God is so good, and he said, not on my watch. He said, I'm not going to leave them without a Savior. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, he wrapped himself in flesh. My God. He came through 42 generations. That's because he said, not on my watch. He came through a virgin Mary. Hallelujah. And he became the living sacrifice. He allowed them to walk them up a hill called Golgotha. My God, that's because he said, nah, I'm not watch. And he took away the sin of death and the grave. Hallelujah. And because Jesus said, not on my watch, we can say, not on my watch. Hallelujah. Is he good this morning? Don't you have a reason to praise us? Don't you have a reason to glorify him? Lift up the name of Jesus. Not on my watch. Amen.
We're standing all over the building. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We extol your name. We thank you, Lord, for such a challenging word. For us to rise up to fight against injustices in the world. But then, Lord, you've also called us to rise up and wage war against the demonic forces in our life. So, Lord, we thank you today. We pray for that person who may sit in our sanctuary who's unsaved or unchurched. Let them know that the New Hope Church says today, not on our watch, we're giving them an opportunity to come and to receive you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said amen. Today, if you're here unsaved, unchurched, today is a wonderful day to give your life to Jesus Christ. You're unsaved, unchurched.
The Lord.
head bowed, every eye closed. Today, if you're here, you're not here by accident. Neither are you here by coincidence, but God has you here for a reason and a purpose. And today, if you're here, listen to me, beloved. Listen to me closely today. You're here unsaved. What does that mean, Red? That simply means you've never accepted Jesus as Savior, Lord of your life. You've never been baptized. That's unsaved. Secondly, you are unchurched. You are not committed to a church. You don't have a church home on your way to your heavenly home. But thirdly, you've been coming, you've been visiting. This has been the place where God has been feeding your soul and feeding your spirit. Let me tell you, this is the place you've been coming, you've been getting fed. You ought to make this your permanent spiritual residence. If that's you today, you fall in any of those categories, or finally, you are new to this Conway metropolitan area, you need a church home. You've had a church home, but you need a place where you can grow in God. If you fall in any of those categories, would you be so kind to slip up your hand? I'm not going to call you out. Some of you want to pray for me. I see you. I see you. I see you. You can drop your hands. You can drop your hands. I want to pray. Join hands with the people around you. Join hands. I want to pray. Want to pray a quick prayer that the Lord will give you the strength to come. Yeah, I'm praying for you today, my brother. I'm praying for you today, my sister. You need to come. You need to come. Give your life to Christ. Today, after I pray, you know you need to come. I want you to squeeze that person's hand next to you when I finish praying. And I promise they'll walk down with you. Or if you need to raise your hand, someone will come and walk with you. There's nothing better than knowing Jesus. I believe I said that again. There's nothing better than knowing Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for such a clear and challenging word. Thank you, Lord, that you remind us that you love us so much that you declared that I'm going to give you a chance because you declared, not on my watch. And Lord, you've given us a clarion call. We pray now for our brother. We pray now for our sister that needs to know you. We pray for them that needs the church on. Let them know that New Hope is a wonderful place where they can be built up in God, and God's love is evident in this place. Move by your power. Right now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need to come today, squeeze that hand or raise your hand. Today is a good day to come. Step out of wherever you are. Today is a good day to come. Good day to come. How wonderful. Good day to come. I see you. I see you today. I see you. Amen. You can follow the campus pastor right out. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your presence. Amen. You may be seated, beloved. Amen. How y'all feel today? Amen. Were you blessed by the word? Let's thank God for the ministry of Pastor, Minister Lauren Jones. Amen. Mr. Lauren Jones. She was Lauren Phelps when I met her, so I always say Lauren Phelps, but we thank God for Minister Lauren Jones. Let's thank God for all of these women who have led this wonderful Women's Weekend on this campus with Sister Charlotte and so many. Let me do this. Anyone who has worked in any capacity, just wave your hand. Amen. God bless you. Sister Park says thank you. Pastor says thank you. Thank you so much. And I'm so grateful that we have a church where people serve that don't need to be in the spotlight and don't have to have their backs. Amen. We're bigger than that. Amen. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful that we do it for the cause of Christ, and we have people working in all kinds. It takes all kinds of workers to get the work done. Amen. Let me say this. October the 1st starts the Men's 33 series. We'll run it between both campuses, but we'll start next Saturday at 8:30 a.m. at our North Little Rock campus. All men of New Hope, I want to see you next Saturday. Saturday, amen, at our North Little Rock campus. We will explore the next 6 weeks together, amen. Women, let the men out the house, amen. Let them get to that honey-do list afterwards. We need to have some men time, amen. And we'll be talking about a man and his traps, amen. How many know there's some traps out here for men, amen. 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 You don't got to worry. What we talk about in Men's 33, you don't got to share it when you get home. Amen. So we thank God for that. Amen. Amen. No matter how hard she pressed, you tell her come see her after. Amen. Amen. I want to share this with you as well. I want you to pray for us next Sunday. How many know that this is an important election coming up? There's a very important election. Amen. And a part of our church's DNA now is to make us socially conscious. We believe our spirituality is connected to our social conscience. So next Sunday, we will have voter registration Sunday. Amen. There are so many people who have sacrificed their lives and energies, and I want every believer of the New Hope Church to be registered to vote. Amen. It's no sense of us coming to church on Sunday and we shout and we believe God can do anything, but we live defeated lives Monday through Saturday. And some of the work that God wants to do, he wants to do it through you. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, he wants to do it through you. So I want y'all to pray for me. Tomorrow I'm going into an important meeting. We're trying to mobilize churches across the state to get their churches out to vote. Amen. So will you all pray for me? You know the pastors are radical, so I'm supposed to lead that endeavor. So I need y'all to pray for me. Amen. That I speak with temperament and wisdom. Amen. About the ills that's going on in our world. Amen. Pray, Charlotte. I mean, pray. You call my name. Amen. Pray my name. Call my name. Lord bless George Lewis Parks Jr. And he don't get over there and cry. Amen. 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 So we're grateful for that. I see the presentation. Would y'all come quickly? Amen.
This did have a bug, so I don't want you to think we that country. Like, I didn't do it. I don't know what you're talking about. Lady George, you please come to the front. Now, it is a blessing. It's a blessing to have a first lady who is authentic. And I'm telling you, this is what we have. The woman that is standing before you has a gentle, quiet spirit. The woman that is standing before you had pulled off a women's conference with no drama. You know, and God smiled on you because you're authentic. And we need that leadership. We need your spirit. We love you. Yes. And this is just a small token without the bow to show you that we recognize and we don't want this day to pass this and not say thank you. And this is just our way of saying thank you. We love you and we will follow you in your leadership. And we thank God for that.
God bless you. We're moving today. I want you to remember, I want you to start praying for the revival. Amen. When you start praying for the revival, that the Lord will meet us in a mighty way. We know Dr. Curtis has a word for us. Amen. But I want us to pray that the Lord will make our hearts ready to receive the word. Amen. And we'll start praying expressly on Tuesday night. See you on Tuesday night. Amen. Tuesday night as we continue with Bible study. Come on, give yourselves a great big hand. You all have been consistent. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. I call this my low maintenance church. Y'all know how to get it done. Amen. This is my low maintenance church. Now, don't y'all go over there and know I can say that, but amen. Make sure you cut your tapes off and stuff. Amen. Let's thank God for Minister Lauren Jones. Amen. Amen. God bless you. May the grace of God, the sweet communion of His Holy Spirit, rest.
groom, refresh, and reform this day and the days ahead until we meet at Jesus' feet, the bishop of the church, the bishop of our souls. Go in peace, go in love, go and serve. Have a wonderful day.
Go ahead, make sure they're in the car.
That's what I told them. Go ahead, yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, lady.
You slick messy.
We got to get it in.
Okay.
What's up, D? How did that go? How are you?
I will.
Doing all right? You didn't cook.
I did. Yes, I did.
No wonder I missed it.
See that right there?
You know, I'm proud of
you. I see.
What's up, Don?
What's up? Doing all right?
Yeah. Good, you? How you doing?
I'm running.
What's up, week, man?
Huh?
That'll last me all week right there.
Y'all good? Y'all good? I'm out. I'm running.
All right, now. See you then. All right. All right.
Is Evan in?
Yeah, he's in.
I do believe so.
What number, 4 bags?
4? Okay.
You got my sale?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right, y'all gonna fight them over.
We'll see. All right, Ben.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
All right, come on, kiddo.
Thank you.
All right, Ben.
Because we have a car full of people.
Thank you,
James.
Her family.
Thank you.
That's my mom.
How are the kids?
They're good. I miss them though. Now I'm like, okay, let's go home. Yes. See my baby.
Ready to go.
My mom is taking all these cute pictures of my daughter and my son and what she's doing with them. So I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go home now.
Oh, look, I feel like we can't. My 4 days is my limit now.
Yeah. I miss my babies. I want to see my babies.
Boy, it feels good not to preach.
Can
Thank
I
you,
see a
Jesus.
Picture?